Well, welcome to Real Talk with Jordan Riley, where the real talk does not come from me. It comes directly from God's Word. And before we get started today, please consider subscribing to our channel, giving this a thumbs up, and supporting what we do by going to realtalkwithjordan.com. On today's episode, there are five deadly things that are spreading like weeds that most people are ignoring or don't want to talk about. So what we're going to do today is we're going to rip the Band-Aid right off and expose it. So are you ready? Let's go.
Jesus was so marred, he no longer looked like a human being, that in that place in hell, this little emaciated spirit, suddenly the Spirit of God hit him with the Word of God. Whoa! I mean, demons bouncing off the wall to hell. Glory to God.
But I'm going to say to you right now, you are God's.
God taught me by the Holy Spirit how to start confessing the Word of God out loud and calling things that were not yet a reality in my life as if they already existed.
Say after me, within me is a God man. Say it again, within me is a God man. Now let's say even better than that, let's say I am a God man.
And ladies and gentlemen, you're looking at a prosperous man. Lord Jesus. I can't help myself. I'm such a blessed man. Are you bragging? Yeah!
Well, you just saw some false teachers and false teaching, but today we're going to go a lot deeper. And I'm going to share with you five things that are spreading like a fungus in the church today, and they need to be stopped. As we start, I want to share two foundational problems that are allowing these things to spread out of control. Number one, the first issue is that people do not believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. They think the Bible has issues. I mean, it's corrupt, it has errors, it shouldn't be taken literal. That's a bunch of nonsense. And the second issue is biblical illiteracy, because people simply don't know God's Word. And that's because they're either not reading it or pastors aren't preaching it. Now, these two things have led to the invasion of these false teachings in the church. So let's go through the top five things that are destroying churches today. Number one, egalitarianism versus complementarianism. Now, sadly, many people have a false view of things based on either a misunderstanding of Galatians 3 verse 28 or what the culture around them thinks. Oh boy.
I permit not a woman to teach or to usurp authority over a man. If a woman wants to know anything, let her ask her husband. There's no ambiguity in that whatsoever. And it's not any kind of commentary on the spiritual equality of women. Of course, in Christ, we're all one. There's neither male nor female. And it's not a commentary on women as something less than. It simply identifies them as different than. Men are given the responsibility of leadership throughout society. I mean, that's God's design for marriage inside and outside the church. So again, I think it's kind of the Eve issue. You know, Eve got out from under Adam and led the whole human race into sin. Women are designed by God to be helpers and to be protected under the headship of their husbands. And that is played out throughout the Scripture. And in particular, if you look at the Bible, for example, 66 books, none of them authored by a woman.
I want to make it very clear that feminism has deceived many people into thinking that women can do anything that men can do. Sadly, according to God's word, that is not true. Women cannot be the husband of one wife, 1 Timothy 3, verse 2. In the Bible, no women were apostles, no women were pastors, and no women wrote any books of the Bible. Also, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, when it talks about pastors and elders, it is mentioned 12 times the word he, him, husband, or his. Also in Galatians 3, verse 28, it talks about God's love and affection and how it's the same for men and women, slave and free, Greek and Jew. This verse has nothing to do with God-given roles. Let me be very clear. God gave the role of pastors and elders to men only. And just because a woman feels called to do it or thinks she has the ability to do it doesn't mean anything, because God forbids it. Next is the belief that the church is the new Israel, also known as supersessionism. This is the view that the church has replaced Israel, which is absolute garbage teaching. The view that Israel and the church are different is clearly taught in the New Testament. We see that the church is an entirely new creation that came into being on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, and will continue until it is taken to heaven in the rapture, Ephesians 1, verses 9 through 11, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. The church has no relationship to the curses and blessings for Israel. The covenant's promises and warnings of the Mosaic covenant were valid only for Israel. And Romans chapter 11 makes it clear that Israel has been set aside for the past 2,000 years.
So are you suggesting that the church isn't Israel?
No, the church is not Israel because they're separated. The church and the church of God and Israel are two separate entities. Here's the problem. You're talking now about supersessionism. You're talking about the idea that all the promises to Israel has forfeited by its disobedience and are now belonging to the church. The Bible doesn't allow that. Romans 11 does not allow that. That's the very verse you're talking about. The promises God made to Israel, he will fulfill to Israel. So to make the church the recipient of promises given to Israel splits the Old Testament verses. You can go all the way back to Deuteronomy, back to the mountain Ebal and Mount Gerizim, where God says, obey me and you'll have blessings, disobey me and you'll have curses. The future kingdom of Israel will bring about the salvation of the nation Israel, and that's what Jeremiah is talking about when he says, I'm going to give you a new heart and a new spirit and write my law in your hearts, and that's talking to Israel. Yes, I believe in that. And you know, I love the fact that R.C. affirmed that based on Romans chapter 11, the future salvation of the nation Israel. It's inescapable because it's in the text.
Now, I want you to look at this graphic that I made for you. Maybe this will help you out when it comes to supersessionism. Right there you see the church was never promised land. Also, the church never occupied any land. The church was never cast out of any land due to sin. And finally, the church was never promised to be restored to that land. It's a dangerous doctrine when you try to make the church the new Israel, because it gives you a wrong view and a wrong understanding of God's word. Next is easy believism, which is everywhere these days. Just repeat a prayer. Just believe a set of facts. You know, just ask Jesus into your heart.
Even after the early service, I was standing out in the lobby. A dear precious woman came up and gave me the same account when she was 4 years old. She prayed some prayer, and she said her mother said to her, now I can, you're paying more attention to me, so I was saved at age four. And I said, I hate to disturb you, but you're not saved until you confess Jesus as Lord. There is no easy believism and there is no cheap grace. To acknowledge that Jesus is Lord means to come to a point in your life where you bow the knee to Jesus Christ and acknowledge that he has every right to rule every area of your life and you have no rights whatsoever. He is the king over the domain of your heart and of your life, and for the rest of your life, we follow King Jesus.
So what has easy believism done for us today? I want you to hear me very clearly. It has created millions and millions of false converts who believe that they played a role in their salvation and who have no idea what the gospel even says. But at one point in their life, they made a decision for Jesus and bam, they're saved. Absolutely not. Easy believism is mostly based on emotion. I mean, low lighting and mood music, oh boy. And then a long altar call where you come forward and you ask Jesus into your heart. That is a said no verse ever. There is no such thing in the Bible. Jesus and the apostles never once did anything like this. The correct understanding of salvation is seen in lordship salvation, as some call it. Watch this as I break it down. Now, here's a graphic I made, and you can see the five major differences between the two. Let's go over those really quick a second. Lordship salvation teaches that the path is narrow to be saved. Matthew 7:14. Easy believism says anyone who makes a profession is in. Lordship salvation, every believer bears good fruit. Matthew 7:17. Easy believism, a tree can be good but bear bad fruit. By the way, on easy believism, on all those, said no verse ever. Number three for Lordship salvation, not all who say Lord, Lord will enter. Matthew 7 verses 21 through 23. Easy believism, anyone who says Lord is good enough. Fourth, true salvation will be backed up with evidence of faith. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Easy believism, no evidence of change is needed. And finally, in a kind of a summarizing point, Lordship salvation requires obedience, brokenness over sin, a changed life, and Jesus preserves us till the end. That's John 14:15, Jude 1:24-25, and Matthew 5:3-7. Easy believism, on the other hand, talks about repeating a prayer, walking an aisle, believing a set of facts. That's all you need. And what you did at one time in your life is good enough to keep you secured till the end. Sadly, too many people have no problem seeing Jesus as Savior, but they won't see him as their Lord. If you look at the book of Acts, it mentions Jesus as Savior only twice, but mentions Jesus as Lord over 90 times. If Jesus is your Lord, you come to him on his terms, not yours. You die to self. You live for him. You obey him. You follow and serve him. Like many have said before, either Jesus is Lord over all, or he is not Lord at all. Next is ecumenism. This is the belief that all churches and faith need to be united together. This can be seen in the graphic right here about coexist. Oh boy, that looks like fun. But it's not. This is pure unbiblical nonsense. Jesus said in John 14:6 that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through him. He doesn't say that, hey, there's many ways to be saved. Just pick which one works for you. Not at all. Also in Jude 1:3, it says that we should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. And Paul went even further in Galatians 1:6-9, and said that anyone who preaches a different message than what was preached by Jesus or the apostles was damned or accursed. Just think about that a second.
Okay. Love you too. Bless you. Love you. Bless you. All right. I just want to join hands with you guys. Okay, here's the deal. I believe that the Catholic Church and the Christian Church, that we're going to come together right now. Thank you in the name of Jesus, God, for a mighty baptism on the Catholic Church, God. Jesus' name.
Now, what you saw right there, that was ecumenism, which seeks to water down the gospel or change it so that everybody gets in. Let's just all have a big kumbaya session and get together. Even though it seems nice and loving and affirming and all these things on the outside, Satan is behind this movement. Next is inclusivism, which is the belief that all are welcome, no matter what you've done, or who you are, or what you believe. This again seems so loving and affirming, yes. But it is nowhere taught in the Bible. Jesus said in Matthew 10:34-36, that he brought a sword to cause division. And Matthew 25:32-33 says that Jesus will separate the sheep from the goats. That doesn't sound very inclusive, if you ask me. I mean, if Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life, which he is, then that means there are false ways and counterfeit truths that don't work and cannot save. Not one verse in the Bible affirms of being inclusive. Another word for this is universalism, where everybody is saved. Let's just have a big party and sing kumbaya and hold hands. We're all going to heaven. No, this is absolutely false, and again, nowhere found in Scripture. We see tons of places in the Bible where many people are cast into hell. Again, that's not very inclusive if you ask me. But again, I want you to hear this. The problem with all these beliefs is that when you're biblically illiterate and you don't believe in the inerrancy of God's word, you will fall for anything that sounds good. Sadly, that's where we are today. It's hard to tell the difference between so-called Christians and the world. I mean, for the most part, the only difference is church attendance.